Marilyn was not the airhead blonde that she so deftly portrayed. Vestiges of her life, letters, poems, and photographs, keep coming to light, darkening her brilliant public image, complicating her persona. Marilyn's tragedy was to be treated like the Jessica Rabbit cartoon she presented herself as, and sadly, sometimes it seemed as if she wasn't quite in on the joke. Here she is talking to Josephine, played by Tony Curtis, in Some Like It Hot, widely considered the best American comedy of all time.
Then one morning you wake up, the guy's gone, the saxophone's gone, all that's left behind is a pair of old socks and a tube of toothpaste, all squeezed out. So, you pull yourself together, you go on to the next job, the next saxophone player. It's the same thing all over again. You see what I mean? Not very bright.
Brains aren't everything.
I can tell you one thing, it's not going to happen to me again, ever. I'm tired of getting the fuzzy end of the lollipop.
Despite her celebrity, Marilyn may have felt that she, like Sugar Kowalski, had been dealt the fuzzy end of the lollipop too often. This is my friend Leon Wieseltier, literary editor of the New Republic magazine.
There's something about her in film when she's actually on camera that you could call it vulnerable, but a lot of the time when I watch her, I just don't know how much she's getting it. She seems anxious and nervous, and she turns herself into this Cupid doll even when she doesn't have to. And it's her fallback position. And you contrast her with, say, on the one side, Jane Mansfield, who was clearly in on the joke the whole time. And on the other hand, with someone like Angie Dickinson, who you could also cook an egg on, except she never played an unintelligent woman. And there was some way in which she never accepted the trade-off between body and brain.
As the photographer David Thompson put it, Marilyn Monroe gave great still, especially when she was reading. In a black and white photograph taken early in her life, she reclines languidly on a sofa, swathed in a silk dressing gown and wrapped in a volume of Heinrich Heine. In another, she glances up from a book on Goya to turn a red lipstick smile on the camera behind her. Eve Arnold famously pictured her in Long Island sitting in a bathing suit, deeply engrossed, apparently, in James Joyce's Ulysses.
It's a heartbreaking picture because she didn't need to read Ulysses. I mean, lots of men don't need to read Ulysses unless they feel spiritually or intellectually called upon to read Ulysses. She could have been reading Irwin Shaw. She didn't have to be reading at all. She had her own soul. She had her own way through the world. But the men in her life made her feel that unless she was smart, she wasn't good enough. These powerful intellectual men obviously see her as the other principle of the universe.
Pure id? Or
pure id, mindless beauty. I mean, basically, for them, she confirms the idea that either you're powerful and brilliant the way the men are, or you're beautiful and helpless the way the women are.